Talking about shailas that come up with visiting the sick or taking care of the elderly or the sick. So I want to speak today a little bit. We were supposed to talk about this last week. I want to talk about in the hospital now. And one of the major shailas that come up in a hospital, especially if you go to any of the saint hospitals, is the crosses that are all over the hospitals. If you stay in any hospital, St. Francis is a popular one. They're full of crosses. So the question is, how does that work out for davening and things like that? I gave this share in my shul on Shabbos, and someone mentioned to me that their daughter graduated St. John's. And when they graduated St. John's, they had to wear a cap and gown. Mm-hmm. And on the gown, there's crosses. Shesi Ve'er on the gown. And the question was, what do they do? So we'll see in a second what the halacha says, but they told me what they did was they went to the dean of St. John's, and apparently they are Velcro, those crosses on the gown. And they were able to take them off. They asked for shus, which we'll talk about in a second. Don't be so quick to deface crosses, especially in a Christian building. So they asked for shus from the dean, and the dean said they could take them off. So we'll see if they really have to do that, or if that was just obviously you don't feel comfortable wearing a cross, even if you're a Jew. But the shaila that comes up a lot in the hospitals is prayer. If you're with family, we spoke last week at length that it's most likely, if you're actively caring for family in the hospital and you're there, you probably should not leave to go daven with a minyan unless you can have someone fill in for you or you're not necessarily needed at that time. Then you might have to daven in the room. Or, chas v'shalom, you're the patient and you're stuck in a room. A fellow told me that he was in St. Francis and the priest came in and asked if he wants to pray. So he told the priest, no, I did it already this morning before I came. I'm good. Thank you for asking. You know, so these types of places, you got to be, you got to know what they're going to, you don't know what's going to come down your way. So in any case, so let's talk about the shaila of the churches, the crosses. So if you look in the Ramon Yoredeya, Simikuf Memalov, the Ramon writes, Shesi ve'erev shemishtacha v'mloi. The Shesi ve'erev is, right, Shesi ve'erev means goes horizontal and the other way. Right, that's a cross, right, up and down. So Shesi ve'erev means the cross. So the Ramah writes Shesi ve'eriv shemishtachav imloy, the Shesi ve'eriv that they're going bow down to, dinoy kitzelim. That's like a tzelim v'aser, and that's also b'loy bitel. That's considered avodah zarah. That Shesi ve'eriv is considered an avodah zarah. I had a babysitter. She's not with us anymore. My son went to school. We don't need a babysitter anymore. So she's a real Buddhist, and she was telling my kids, maybe she shouldn't have told them, that she has these little getchkolas in her house. And she takes one in her purse, she brings it on the bus with her, and she davens that she should have a safe trip on the bus and everything should go smoothly. So we spoke once about this, that's not so possible she could bring it into my house even. There's an issue maybe based on the pasuk in the Chumash that you're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, you can't even allow Avodah Zarah into your house. And she works for me. So I never got down to exactly if she brought it every day with her in a purse or what she did, but she has these little getchkolas like you learned in Chumash in last week's Parsha. These little getchkolas, and you laugh and you think, who's stupid enough to bow down to these things? Millions of people today that bow down to these little getchkolas. And she told me there's a store over here we can buy them and there's different sizes. I think she gave my kids too much of an education. They didn't even know all this, but that's how it is. So Shesi Ve'eriv is the cross. Now the cross today is a shtickle tricky thing. Many people wear the cross, not Jews, but many Christians wear the cross. And the question is, how many of them actually bow down to the cross and worship it? Or is it more what we call today decorative? It's the way you dress. It's the way you prove that you're Christian. But you don't necessarily go home every day and bow down to the cross. So there are more rites. So it depends. If they bow down to it, then it's an avodah zarah. Avos Shesi Ve'eriv shetoylem b'tzavor. But the Shesi Ve'eriv that they hang around their necks. Lizikaron, to remind themselves, Shabo b'mimkei moseihem, they come from those places, loy mikri tzelim umot. That's not called a tzelim. Okay, so now you got to figure out why the most goyim wear the crosses around their necks. So now, why is the cross up in the room at St. Francis? Is it there to bow down, or is it there just to be decorative? So, in the rooms in the hospital, in the hallways, it's probably not used to be prayed to. It's probably more decorative. It's showing that we're a Christian hospital. That's how we show we're Christian, by putting the crosses. So let's say, for example, you have a nurse who's wearing her necklace proudly, or a doctor, whatever it is, and you want to daven, and you're staring at the cross. So why is he wearing the cross around his neck? You don't know. Is the pshat because this guy goes home every day and prays to the cross? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I would say probably not, but you never know. So the Ramah says it depends. If they're wearing it for decorative, it doesn't have a din of avodah zarah. If they bow down to it, then it has a din of avodah zarah. What happens if you don't know? How are you really supposed to know? So if you look over here, number 28, the Shach, the Shach writes on that page in Yoredeya, he says, "Hainu biyodua shaloi hishtachav aloi." It means you know it wasn't bowed down to. I mean, you can't just assume because it's decorative, it's probably not bowed down to. You actually have to know. Biyodua, you know, shaloi hishtachav aloi, that it wasn't bowed down. So now, do you really know for sure that it wasn't bowed down? Yeah, there's no way of knowing. So however, the Chachmas Odom is more mekel. The Chayodim writes, Venerly the pshita the oisa and shasi ve'erev she'oisim tachshit inoshim. Those shasi ve'erev that they made for jewelry, like we have today, shehei mutarim, that's permissible. The havaki ilia du alonu shaloi she'in anas elanoi. Says the chachosad, and that's a giveaway. Jewelry today is for sure done. It's not done lavoidizraf. You see a woman who's walking around with a necklace of a shasi ve'erev, you can assume it's decorative. She doesn't bow down to it. So that's one problem. Now, what about the shasi ve'erevs in the room? You can probably assume they're there for decorative. I think you can assume. Now, someone asked me, but maybe someone did bow down to them. Maybe 3 years ago, there was a patient here who did bow down to them. So I'm not so sure if that, again, I'm definitely not well-versed in Hachas of Avodah Zarah. I'm not even going to claim that I am. I don't know what that status that does. I personally don't know. I'm going to play. It's not a question of being unof. It's just being honest and ignorance. I don't know. I don't know Hachas of Avodah Zarah well enough. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But
it could be. Not that I'm an expert,
right.
Right. But they don't bow, you know.
So that's what Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva. Rav Moshe has a Tshuva where he thinks this whole thing is, they don't really bow down to the cross. They don't worship the cross. The cross is a simen ba'alma. So that was Rav Moshe. That's what Rav Moshe holds. That's, I guess, another thing to throw back as well. That Rav Moshe held the whole cross is not really avodah zarah. They don't. It's not like a Buddhist where they bow down to this little getchko. They don't bow down to the cross. It's a zecher. It's a zecher. It's a zecher. It's a zecher. But they're not bowing to it. They don't bow down to the cross. Maybe, okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. In places of religion, it might be in places of prayer. But even the cross that they hang, most of them don't really bow down to. So according to Rav Moshe, it's very possible that even the church, even the cross, Luyitzor, they kissed it or bowed down to it, it still wouldn't be mamash, but they're not really serving it. Now, there's still an interesting halach.
What you can't have in the room, is that
the that's what I want to get to right now. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Ches, Hamispalo, let's say you're davening, Ubo Goy Kenegdoi, and a guy walks in front of you, V'yesh Oshesi Verif, and he's got a cross, a big fat cross. So says the Shulchan Aruch, V'igiyah l'makim sheshachem boy, and now you're up to the place where you're supposed to bow down. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Lo yishre, don't bow down. Afapi shaliba l'shamay, even though your heart, meaning, it looks bad. You're bowing down to the cross, and you're thinking to yourself, the cross, I'm diving, I think I'm in Eretz Yisrael bowing down to the Kayas al-Maravi. But l'maisa, you're standing in front of a guy with a cross, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, you shouldn't bow down in that direction. So what does this negate to? So let's say, for example, you're in the room, and in the room there's a cross. So maybe the cross is not really a cross, but it's going to look really bad when the nurse walks into the room and sees the religious guy bowing down to the cross. So for this reason, the Paiskim say that if you're in the room, don't dive in that direction. Dive into a different, even though it's not going to be the right direction that we need for davening, but it's better than that than look like you're bowing down to a cross. Now it's interesting, we just quoted the Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Ches. Number 31 is the Shulchan Aruch Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Ches. Now, sometimes I make mistakes in my Maamar Mekayim Mishnayos, don't get me wrong, but here I did not make a mistake. I wrote the exact same thing twice, but they're different. Why? 31 is the Mishnah, right? We all know the Mishnah Berurah wrote a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. So what did he do? He took the Shulchan Aruch, put it in his sefer, and then wrote a commentary on it. So almost always, you're assuming that the Shulchan Aruch found in the Mishnah Berurah is the same Shulchan Aruch you'd find if you pulled the Shulchan Aruch off the table. This is one exception. Here, in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Ches, the Mechaber that is brought down in the old Shulchan Aruch and the Mechaber that's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch brought in the Mishnah Berurah is not the same version. It's one of those oddities. It says in 31, look at 31, this is the Shulchan Aruch found in the Mishnah Berurah. Hamispalu bo kenegdi akum v'yeshlo temunas oivoides kechavim. He has a picture. According to the Shulchan Aruch, the way we had it, the guy walks in with a shasi ve'erev is around his neck. Here the Shulchan Aruch talking about a case where there's a guy and he has a picture. V'yeshlo temunas oivoides kechavim b'yoda. And he's holding like a picture of a shasi ve'erev. V'higia makim sheshachan bo, and he gets to the place where you're bowing. So the Shulchan Aruch, lo yishcha, don't bow down. Okay, so if you look at number 22, the Das Noiter, Reb Chaim Kinevsky makes his observation that this is not the same Shulchan Aruch that we have in Shulchan Aruch, that we have in Mishnah Berurah. He writes in number 32, Keinu b'Shulchan Aruch ha-nitfas in Magen Avraham b'Taz, Alv b'Shulchan Aruch ha-nitfas in Mishnah Berurah shinoi. The Mishnah Berurah changed it. He says, K'nira b'nei ha-sanzara. He did it because of the censors. He was worried what the people would say. If he writes there that you're bowing down to a Jew with a cross, I guess Jews were, Goyim wore crosses very frequently, so maybe it would look bad. So he changed it to be that he's holding a picture of someone wearing a cross. I'm not sure. But what's the difference of the case? I guess one is more extreme. If the guy's walking, I guess, if the guy's walking around with the cross around his neck, I guess that's more common. And therefore it would look bad if that was the case. I'm not sure. I'm not sure myself exactly why they're so different. Is that there for any religious purpose?
Well, it was probably put on the Swiss flag 100 years ago.
Yeah, so again, that would really depend on perception of people. If people look at that as bowing down to a cross, you probably should dive in a different direction, yeah? If people would get that perception. I don't know if they would. I didn't know there was a cross on the Swiss flag till now, but I guess those people who do know. Again, it's that would probably be better. Now, the Mishnah explains what this all about. So he says, because it looks like you're bowing down to Avodah Zarah, and that's why you're not allowed to bow the direction of a Avodah Zarah. Mishnah Berurah number 34 clarifies, it says, Shebevada yesh bo gilulim. He's talking about a case, let's say you're stranded on the road, and you want to stay in a hotel, and the only hotel is a hotel that's full of Avodah Zarah. Someone told me, Maisa, they stayed in one of these bed and breakfasts, and like you don't know what you're going to get, and they stroll in, and it's like laced full of Avodah Zarah. There's Avodah Zarah everywhere you go, and they started freaking out. I'm not really sure what the big deal is, unless they plan on davening, but if they just want to stay there, I'm not so sure they have to. Yeah, I don't think you have to run. What? No, it's like some forms of statues, I guess, you know. And they're like running for the hills, like 3 o'clock in the morning looking for a hotel room. I don't know if that's, again, I don't know much about Hilchos Avodah Zarah, to be honest with you. I don't think that's the halacha. Now, davening would be a problem. Mishnah Berurah writes, you're not allowed to daven in a place that's Molei Avodah Zarah. Shebevadi yesh bagulum atayevitz, ve'en lahachlis l'sham davish b'kedusha. You can't do a davish b'kedusha. They wouldn't be allowed to bench maybe in there, or daven in there, or maybe make a bracha. But they just want to go in there and go to sleep. I'm not sure. Again, I don't. What? Right, I guess there's something. If you just want, you know, you're just going into your bed and going to sleep. Again, I could be like a Mefarsh Halacha Shulchan Aruch I'm missing here, so I'm definitely not going to paskin on that one. But he writes over here, Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom. Moshe Rabbeinu Torah is you can't daven with his Avodah Zarah, because it says by Mitzrayim, Ketzesia, so here when I leave the city, I can daven, because you're not allowed to daven in a place that's full of Avodah Zarah. Then the Mishnah Berurah explains, number 35, he says, V'im B'Koysel Mizrachi Sham. Mr. Burr points out that you should not daven towards the direction where the Avodah Zarah is. Go to a different direction, even though you won't be getting Mizrach. It's better that than bowing or facing towards an Avodah Zarah. Chaim Kanevsky was asked an interesting question in number 36. He says, "Mevor b'shulchan aruch semekufid gimel." We're in 36 on the right side. So lichray b'shemane esrei kishyesh kenegdet tmunas shetzibev. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, at least in the Mishnah Berurah's version of the Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to bow down. I guess that's your case, right? Where there's a picture of a shetzibev. That's like on the flag, right? You're not allowed to bow down to the direction of a shetzibev in a picture. V'yesh le'yin. Yesh le'ayin. Yishar lichray kenegdet tmuna shesh b'dvam acherim v'yesh b'gam mamshir shayil gavaldik. Right? So he asked Mechanic, can I bow down to a picture that has other things besides the Shesivarev in it? Let's say you'd have a picture of a soldier, and the soldier has a Shesivarev on him. But I mean, it's not a picture of a Shesivarev, it's a picture of other things with, or Mamish, even the Swiss flag is even a better example. So Mechanic Kanevsky answered, Roy Lizar, better not to. So even if, let's say, for example, you'll be in a hospital, you'll be in a room where there's a picture. Again, this could be negev. Let's say you're in a hotel room and you're diving in your hotel room and you see there's a picture with somehow in the picture worked in a shasi ve'erif. So at least according to Chaim Kanevsky, you should take a dive in a different direction. You shouldn't dive into the direction of the...
In all these cases, you
stood
to daven, so you don't bow
down. So Shemoneh Esrei. Besides Shemoneh Esrei, you could, or Elenu, where we bow also. Anywhere we don't bow, you could dive. You could have the Zimmer that way if you want. Yep. So listen to this, Rabbi Yaakov. This is Mamish. This is the epitome of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in number 37. I've heard this from people. People have called me up. They said, we're in a Christian hospital. What should we do with the crosses? They called me back. Don't worry, we took care of it. I said, what'd you do? You got arrested? What'd you do? No, we covered it up with a towel. Fine. Says Rabbi Yaakov, don't do that. Says Rabbi Yaakov number 37. Choylu shenimtza bebeis ha-choylim. V'yesha lakir tmunas tzelem. Shasi ve'er. If it has a cross. Also loylu spal l'fonim. You can't dive in front of it. You could have it on the side of it or behind it, as long as you're not facing directly towards it. The Yesh Lizar Tuva says Rabbi Yaakov, be very careful. Don't cause fights or chil Hashem. By removing it, that's really bad. By covering it. The nurse walks in, she sees all the crosses are covered. Again, even though we live in a very open-minded world today, everyone's very liberal, I get it, but I think Rabbi Yaakov's idea is still very true. I think it's a good idea not to do that. So face different direction. Don't go around covering all the. It's not a good thing to do. Definitely not in a Christian hospital. Okay. So the Nishmas Avrom writes in the top left corner. He says, "What happens if you're a patient? Chas v'shalom, someone's a patient. Someone told me he was a patient in a Christian hospital, and there was the gachka, the Avodah Zarah, the cross was on the wall. So he writes over here, 'I'm a spal beis ha'cholim, akum.'" They have a Avodah Zarah. Don't dive in that direction. That's what we saw already in Mishnah Berurah. Let's say the guy's bedridden. The guy's bed is facing straight towards the cross. What do you want the guy to do? He can't dive into another direction. He's laid up in bed. Then he should just close his eyes. He shouldn't dive in directly towards the cross. According to Nishmas Avrom, if you have to dive in towards the first of all, you should close your eyes. which he quotes from Reb Shlomo ben Zalman Orbach, which we haven't yet seen any such inyan that you should close your eyes. We didn't see that you can't daven towards the cross. We said that it's perception, but he quotes in that case Yitaka shouldn't bow. Meaning, if you're stuck, in the age of Tamshir, you're stuck having to daven directly in front of a Shasi Ve'erif, you shouldn't bow. Azek Paskins in the Nishmas Avram. Shouldn't bow. Lo Yichre, don't bow. Because you're not allowed to bow the direction of a Shasi Ve'erif. What happens if you find yourself in a church, in a non-Christian church, where they don't serve Avodah Zarah, where there's no actual Avodah Zarah? What's it called? The other form of... Protestant, thank you. And the Protestants, where they don't have any Getchkas, they don't have any Avodah Zarah. What?
It's but not the Getchkas.
Right. They have the same idea, but without the Getchkas. So let's say you want to daven in a Protestant room. So there's a tshuva from the Ram Shik over here, number 39. We're not going to read through it because we're behind time. The Ram Shik writes, that's not a problem. Because since there's no real Avodah Zarah there, so it's not considered a base of Avodah Zarah. So if you find yourself in a hospital that's Protestant-based, so you don't have to worry so much.
Can you speak about the places in the airport?
We're going to get to that in the next Shiloh. Very quickly, if you look at number 40, they bring down that many Paiskim disagree. Sicily has a quote, some Paiskim would say, no, even though there's no actual Getchkas, but since it is a place of worshipping Protestant, which is still Avodah Zarah, you still can't daven there. But again, the Maram Shik was makel for such a situation, as was the Kaf HaChaim. If you look at number 42, the last...
situation, if you're going to Protestant church...
You're not diving I don't mean a Protestant church. I mean it's a Protestant room.
Protestant hospital.
I don't know. There's a name for them. I forgot what it's called already.
Good Samaritan.
I forgot it. No. The St. John's has crosses.
I think Good Samaritan.
Well, you see crosses. Some of the Protestants you don't see anything. Well,
I think isn't Good Samaritan in Muncie?
That's what it is. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Are you allowed to go
get
a hangar anyway from those particular buildings or places?
Well, that's a separate shiloh.
In other words,
you're
not even allowed to go
out
to the hospital if you visit
somebody
in those places.
Oh, yeah, that's, you're not getting a hangar. No, that's mitzvah.
I'm getting a hangar from a
Goyish
place that's a church, and you generally don't go into
a
church and it's raining, right?
Right. There are times you are allowed to go into church. Let's say it used to be the voting booths were all in churches, and now they changed it to the public school. But they used to be make all the Paiskim to go vote. Or I was never in the actual worshiping. It's not. I'm saying the shiloh here also. It was always in a side room. That's still right. It was never in the main sanctuary. Now the last shiloh about this again. I don't really want to get too much into churches because there's a lot of complex halachas of avodah zarah, which, as I mentioned many times, I'll keep on mentioning it. I don't know. So therefore, we're going to stay clear of it. But I found an interesting tshuva from Reb Shammai Gross. Reb Shammai Gross is the Belza. I think big dayan in Eretz Yisrael. Probably the head of the bells are Bezdin over there. So he talks about a following shayla. It took me a while to figure out what he was talking about. Let's see how many of you are big travelers. He says b'sdeh ha'tufa. Okay, that's the airport. I'm in number 42. Gatwick. What's Gatwick?
Gatwick.
It's in England. It's an airport in England. Okay. All I needed was a Google, and I was good to go. So in England they have an airport called Gatwick. Yesham chedim yuch lechol eila roitz maspalsham. Non-denominational room. Everyone can pray. Right? Everyone can go pray.
There's
a Muslim section. They have a Muslim. They wash before they.
Do they have any? Are there any crosses in the room?
No.
Nothing. There's a section.
A section for the Muslims to wash.
And where's the Jewish section?
There's a curtain.
A curtain.
But when we walked in, there was a Muslim
doing his thing
over there.
Right.
And so we closed the curtain and we went into the.
So he writes over here.
In a Jewish area, it's just like you close the curtain.
So he wants to know. There's a room for anyone who wants to pray. He says there's a cross somewhere in that room. Now you got a much bigger problem on your hands. Why? Because that cross is presumably used for worship. You know, the cross on the in the room in the hospital is one thing, but in the room of prayer, it's most likely it's used to pray. So l'chayru, you shouldn't be allowed to go in even. So he writes, that's why the room was set up. Even though they originally set it up for allow Jews to pray there also. That they established to be a room for prayer for both religions. And now there's a shesiv eriv, avim makim kavuli l'akum l'spalsham, vadai da'osa l'spalsham. Vada, he says, then you can't. That's used for praying. That cross, you know, is used for praying. That cross, you can't tell me, is used for anything else. And therefore, you would not be allowed to pray in that room.
Not necessarily bowing down to it.
Who?
Not
No, but you're not allowed to go into a room where there's an avodah zarah. So we came out and we said that a lot of these things are not really avodah zarahs. Even if it's not an avodah zarah, you still can't bow down to it. But if it's really an avodah zarah, then
the fact that in the room, how does this?
No, it's because it's in a room of prayer.
Okay, but they didn't necessarily utilize it.
You don't think that they used that? It was put there to be used for prayer, to be worshipped. Yeah, put aside Rav Moshe's cheshbon that no one really worships the cross. Yeah, that's because we don't use the Torah in that setting. If you use it in that way, you would assume with religion it's probably used for some religious purpose.
Well,
I think
that they're actually bound to worship.
Right, if you assume there's some... Right, exactly. If you assume there's some way of being Oyved Shasiv Erev, so then you would assume that if it's in a room of prayer, it's probably used for religious reasons. Meaning, the argument he's making is it's probably not used Lenoy. It's not decorative. They didn't just decorate the room with a Shasiv Erev because it's a nice decorative article. They probably used it for the purpose of worshiping. Okay.
I've seen the non-denominational chapel where they have Malkin David and the...
Next to each other.
No, built into one.
So that's part of the Shaila.
That's
a Shaila if you can daven there. Some of those places are better than a place where they have Mamasha regular cross...
There's curtains in between. Is that sufficient?
If it's a separate room, I guess it would be a separate room.
No,
I'm not sure if you need to have Hilchas Mechitzas for Shabbos.
Right,
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Okay, let's get back to what we're supposed to get to. This was last week's. So we're going to talk now about, and when I was preparing this shiur, I realized, and Michael's going to let us know when, a lot of this stuff we discussed already in different shiur. This is a shtuk chazar for us. A lot of this topic we discussed in different shiur over the last many years that we've been doing this, a lot of this stuff has been covered, but there's some new stuff, and chazar is always good. So we're talking about now we're going into the hospital. So when a person's with the hospital with a family member or for themselves, Shabbos is very tricky. Shabbos becomes very problematic. Next week in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to discuss the problem with technology in Shabbos. You know, I had a friend of mine whose wife had a baby 6 weeks early, and they were clearing, should they stay for Shabbos with the baby? They said it's just too complicated. All the electronic shiles, it's just not worth it. They're just going to go home and have to leave the baby. They'll come back much of Shabbos. Because it's so complicated now in the hospitals, all technology. Technology is great, except for Shabbos. Except for Shabbos.
And now, hotels
are also a problem. That's why today's shiur, as much as it's labeled hospitals, it's who had in hotels, it's who had in, someone told me, go on a cruise ship. We'll see a lot of the shiles when they get on cruise ships. Not that I would go on one anyways, I've heard too many horror stories of cruise ships. But the ma'isa today, there's a lot of situations where a lot of what we're going to discuss today is not only hospitals, it's really negeya to any time you're really away from home. So let's start with the beginning. The first shaila that everyone talks about, and this is shaila that's very typical, especially when you have young couples that have babies, and we'll see why it's relevant that both the husband and the wife are in the hospital for Shabbos. What do you do with Neir Shabbos? So if you remember, we had an entire series on Neir Shabbos. How long ago? Michael, tell us.
Depends which one.
We did a whole...
We had one with the traveling, and then we had Neir Shabbos.
And we did a whole series on Neir Shabbos. And one of those weeks, we talked about this shaila, about electric candles. So let's talk about it for a little bit now. The big shaila comes up when you're in a hospital. We did it in a Chanukah also, which we'll come back to again tonight as well. It's a good chazar today. It's a good week to chazar. So everyone knows that you go to a hospital, they don't let you light fires. Now the truth is, if you go to hotels, they also don't really let you, unless you take over the whole place. If you rent, right, what'd you do with the candles? They let? Exactly. Oh, some
match.
Exactly. Oh, we're going to get to that also tonight. We're going to talk about Havdalah also. So when you go to a hotel for Shabbos, unless you go with a major program, so there they let you light, which we've spoken about in the past, is that's a poshut, where they let you light. But Lamaisa, they'll let you light. But if you go by yourself with a small family, they're not going to let you, and this is the problem with Hanukkah. You can't just put up a menorah there, you can't put up a Shabbos. So what do you do? So the first famous achron to discuss this obviously had to be after electricity came out, because electricity came out before, it wasn't Negeya. Now, I did do a little bit of a Google search just to know when did electricity become popular in Europe. Because we're going to see the first tshuva comes from Yitzhak Shmelkis. He was the Rav in Lvov, Ukraine, in the end of the 1800s. So by the end of the 1800s, it seems like electricity was somewhat more popular in the typical home in Europe or in Ukraine. Obviously, not everyone had it, but it was somewhat more acceptable. So the Beis Yitzchak, Yitzhak Shmelkis, he was a Choshev Rav, he died in the beginning of the 1900s. So he was, as far as I know, the first big gadol to discuss electricity, and he talks about it in two major shailas. Shaila number one is, can you use an electric light for Neir Shabbos? And shaila number two is, can you use an electric light for Neir Chanukah? Which is a big shaila today. You go around. Many people have this booklet. Should say in Yonim Lebeis Cholim Neiris Kiddush Avdol. If you're looking to see where we're holding,
everyone turned the page, but we're actually on a different.
It's a new page. There's a total new page. It says number one, Beis Yitzchak, right corner. So the Beis Yitzchak wrote two tshuvas on this topic, both in Yerodea, and he writes very, very, very quickly, and it's very important to see the Beis Yitzchak inside. Why? Because look what he writes. Ubedavrim Yochel Levarich. His shaila was, can you make a bracha al gaz licht oy ala electronic licht, lahadlik ner shel Shabbos. The question was, can you make a bracha? So there's two shilas. We'll see, it's mamash a big shilah. Is can you be yoytze the mitzvah, the rabbanon of adlokas neiris via electric? And B, can you make a bracha? And they're two separate shilas. And the third shilah we're going to have to get to, obviously, is today there's very few electric lights. Today all the lights are LED. Does LED change from electric lights? Because you have to remember, the electric lights that the Beis Yitzchak was talking about in the late 1800s was what we call today incandescent light bulbs, which are very hard to find today. Most places, the hospitals, hotels, they're not incandescent light bulbs. They're all LEDs almost everywhere. And before LED, they were fluorescent. Fluorescent and LED are not the same for our discussion. They both don't have any fire, right? The way an incandescent light bulb works is basically it's a piece of metal that gets very hot. It's a piece of metal that heats up, and that's why if you touch it, you burn your finger. If you touch an LED light, your finger will not burn, because LED and fluorescent are chemical. Fluorescent is a chemical reaction that takes place in the bulb. So now that obviously will have somewhat of a change, the halacha, between both Neiris Shabbos and Havdalah, even more than anything. So, says the Beis Yitzchak. Now again, you have to remember, he's talking about old-fashioned incandescent light bulbs, which you can still have today. I have them in parts of my house, but they're trying to get rid of them. They're not good on energy, right? Everyone knows they want to turn everything into LED, which makes things complicated for Shabbos. So says the Beis Yitzchak, Uladaiti yochol loymer lahadlik ner. Says the Beis Yitzchak, Nilv is that the yochol varach yotze dechayves mitzvah. You can make a bracha, and you yotze the mitzvah. Okay. So Zok the Beis Yitzchak, you can make a bracha. That's gonna called ner. Even though you can argue it's not a ner. Ner means a wick, a candle, oil. It's none of those. But Zok the Beis Yitzchak, you can make it and you can make it with a bracha. Now why is this so important? Because if we're gonna accept the Beis Yitzchak's psak, we gotta accept his whole psak. What was his whole psak? A, yes, and B, with a bracha. Yet we'll see, many achorim only took half the psak. Now, I didn't photocopy because it's not negated for now, but at the end of this tshuva, he says, but not ner chanukah. Ner chanukah, you cannot use electric menorah, because by ner chanukah, there's another din. It has to be doime to the menorah. It has to have shemen. It has to have wick. So not for chanukah. He has another sun.
What do you do with wax candles?
Well, that's a candle.
A wick.
That's a candle.
Yeah, but it's not shaman.
No, I'm saying it has to be a wick. It has to be a candle. At least a candle. He has another problem with the electric menorahs. He says, which grada today the conservative people who light their menorahs fix. He says, he was talking about if a person wants to light a menorah like a normal candle that you have in your house. I guess they used to have normal, electric lights. So you'd light the electric lights and punkt would be 8 in a row. So he says there's a halacha the Ramah brings down by Hilchos Chanukah. It has to be nicker that you're doing it for Chanukah. So today when you put out that electric menorah outside your door, that's pretty nicker. So that would not be a problem as a manazah. He writes, in his days, the way they used to do the electric menorah was, I guess, they would turn on, 8 lights like this. So what type of hecker is that for Hanukkah? Because there's 8 lights in here, or whatever, however it would look. So today, grada, the way those people light the electric menorahs, it would be a hecker. But at the end of the day, we do not paskin that you can use electric, we go like the Beis Yitzchak. Reb Chaim Moizer wrote a famous tshuva, in number 2. Reb Chaim Moizer writes in Chelek Dalet Sim Nevav, he was asked about hadlaka the kiba electric kiba Shabbos v'yamtiv. What's the halachic status of electricity on Shabbos? So he writes that a posh shechayim mishum mavu mechaber. Chaim Moizer paskin that if you turn on lights on Shabbos, that's a malacha deraisa. Turning off lights on Shabbos is a malacha deraisa as well. Now this is rather very negeya because let's say for example you're talking about amir lenachri stuff. So whenever you're talking in the world of amir lenachri, we always try to put shvus to shvuses to the rabbanans. But if turning off a light switch is a deraisa, so you don't have 2 derabbanans anymore. You're only left with 1. You have the derabban of Amil and Achri, but the turning off the light switch is an issa deraisa. So again, LED is not going to be like that. If you again, let's say for example, it's going to be if you have fluorescent lights in your house, that would probably be a derabban. But according to Chaim Moizer, and we'll see that was the accepted psak widely, except for one minority opinion. So that would be a malacha deraisa. So
where did halogens fall?
What?
Halogen, is that
what is that?
Same as
incandescent. It's condensed or incandescent?
No, it gets hot.
It gets hot?
It gets, oh, yes.
So that's an incandescent light bulb. So that's the deraisa. That's the deraisa. That would be the deraisa.
Even though it looks different, that doesn't
matter. No. It might make a difference for Havdalah, as we'll get to at some point, but Al Shabbos, that's considered a piece of Eish. That's like Eish, that's fire. It's a heated piece of metal, right?
Yeah.
The Rambam paskins, if you heat up metal, you chai because of mavir. That's why the place can talk about the funny shayla. I don't think it's ever negeya. Let's say you forgot to put your blech down before Shabbos. So you want to put your blech down on Shabbos. So some people say, no, it might be a shayla mavir. You're going to cook the blech's going to get so hot. I don't know how hot the blech gets, depending on how high the flame is, I guess. So that's the shayla, because you're heating up metal. heat up metal on Shabbos. That's a malacha of, that's what the Rambam writes. That's a malacha of Mavir. So says the Reb Chaim Moizer, the Chaim presented b'zeh kama pamim by dos peh, and Reb Chaim Moizer made this very clear. We'll talk about, we'll get to hopefully later, how Rabbi Soloveitchik says he remembers watching Reb Chaim Moizer make Havdalah on the incandescent light bulb to prove to the world that an incandescent light bulb was mamashesh, if we could use it for Havdalah. Which again, makes very tricky situation if you have LED lights for Havdalah, which we'll have to get to still. V'chein mevashal bas b'chalav ala electric. He lets you cook bas b'chalav ala electric. Chayim mishem mevashal. V'chein kas mishal shuz beis yischi. He quotes his tshuva from Yitzchak Shmelkis. Av bezden levuth. Chelik yaradeh. Okay, good. V'gamavorisham demutal v'archal adlakas ner shabbos ala electric. Says Reb Chaim Moizer, and what also comes out from the beis Yitzchak? We all read it together. You can make the bracha also. Not only are you yoitz of the mitzvah, you can even make the bracha. Rak the linyan alokas ner chanukah b'shem zayis mitzvah menamuvcha. But when it comes to ner chanukah, it doesn't work. V'oid ayim ashkos v'ramo b'shem tofesh anechas. We mentioned this earlier. Another reason why the Beis Yitzchak doesn't like using electric for chanukah because it has to be nikah that has done the shem chanukah and not the way you leave lights all year long. Right, Reb Henkin number three. This is Reb Henkin. The hadlik ner shabbos shall electriki mutter. Says Reb Henkin, you're allowed to use electric. You can make a bracha. So according to the Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis, Chaim Moizer, Reb Henkin, it's a big list of people. If you're stuck in a place and all you have is an incandescent light bulb, okay, incandescent, we're not yet up to if you have LED lights. Incandescent light bulb, you make the bracha and you light the neiris. However, he writes, you should not use, let's say, the overhead lights. You should try to get, so in the hospitals, they give you these two little lights, which are also a problem, because they're not really giving any aura out. They give you these two little, they barely produce any light. So what are they doing? So you have to try to get something that can at least, meaning, the kasha we always have when we talk about Neir Shabbos is, what are the two Neiris do? I have tons of overhead lights. So we mentioned, no, it adds, you know, candlelit dinner adds something, but you know, those two little light bulbs on the table don't really add much. So you should try to find, again, you can't always be so picky, but you should try to find lights that add to the equation. So you, Avada, you have to do that. That's first of all. Avada, thank you for reminding me. Shulchan Aruch paskens that if your candles are lit before Shabbos, in the times they used to have candles, and you lit it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it goes till 10 o'clock at night, you're not yet in there Shabbos. You have to turn it off, you have to unlight, you have to blow it out and relight it. Same thing with electrical lights. So if, let's say, for example, you turn on the lights at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and now it comes Shabbos, you have to turn them off before Shabbos, make the bracha, and then flip the light switch, in order to be yet with the light switch.
Can you appoint someone to do it for you?
If where? If you're in the hospital?
You're in the hospital.
Oh, so we're going to talk about, and if sometime, we're going to talk about what happens if you're in the hospital and you have people in your house. We're going to get to that in a second. That's a very interesting halacha that I don't know how many people are aware of, that it might not be so, this whole discussion might be a little bit not negeya if you have people in your home. We'll see who those people can be, a spouse, married children, single children. We'll come back to that at some point. Huh?
Yeah, we did. Who should light first?
That's a different shahat we spoke about once. If the wife is not lighting, so should the older daughter's light or should the husband light? That's right. A separate shahat we talked about. Yeah.
A man has the same chiyuv as a woman.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. A man has the same chiyuv, just that the woman gets to go first. She has kadima, but if, let's say, for example, she's not going to light. So again, we'll see. We're going to, when we get to this.
Yeah, but that doesn't work in reverse. I mean, if the wife gets her home for Shabbos and the husband goes late.
Yes.
He doesn't have to light where he goes.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
But it's just,
it goes the other way also. If the wife would be in the hospital for having a baby and the husband's home and he's making the Shalom Zachar and he lights candles there, she doesn't have to light in the hospital.
She does not.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
We're going to get to that. We'll talk. And what happens, we'll talk about another case. Let's say, for example, both mother and father are in the hospital and the kids are home. You have adult kids. You have adult kids. So it might depend if they're married or single. We'll get to that. So we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. So far, if we stop right here, so this is not a shiloh about the, again, it's going to become a shiloh because they're becoming obsolete, incandescent light bulbs. But if you could still get yourself, your hands on some incandescent light bulbs, so you'd be able to light near Shabbos, no problem. Again, in the hotel rooms, you can still get incandescent. I don't know. They still have, depends where, right? Some of them maybe like in the lamps.
Sometimes the lamps.
The lamps are still going to be, are still incandescent. But you know, I'm assuming within the next couple of years, it's going to be, we're really going to run ourselves into problems for our Shabbos purposes. Again, better and worse. Less shilohs on turning them on, but less more limitations on using them for neighbors.
So if you... Did you make sort of sell these portable ones? And like basically maybe giving it a stone by doing that? Like you have a portable two light,
right. Yeah, that would be a great idea. The Shabbos lamp, what are those? That's an incandescent light bulb? No. That's what?
Fluorescent.
That's fluorescent? Okay. They can't even use that. Wow.
They sell them.
You can do
whatever.
Right. So I'm saying if a person's traveling, a person's a big Shabbos traveler, he should pack in a suitcase those two little incandescent light bulbs. This way, and be miyachadem, and this way they're going to be a Shabbos lamp. That's probably the best thing to do. Now, we're going to see not everyone agrees to this. Okay, not everyone agrees to this. So that's always the shaila. When someone calls you and says, okay, I'm in the hospital for Shabbos, what do I do in Neir Shabbos? Now, the problem is for a lot of women, you know, for men, you could tell a man, do something without a bracha. To tell a lady to do something without a bracha, she gets very uncomfortable. Like, what do you mean? Why am I not making a bracha? What's going on over here? So we'll have to see how that's going to play a role in halacha.
The reason is because of either covered Shabbos or, you know, that you
don't
have a
right.
You're in a room that has light coming in and out in the hospital.
Right.
You don't always have the light, right?
Right. But again, but it's the same, so why do you light in your house?
Okay, so I'm saying you keep the closed light beforehand, they do it off the minute that they did, and there's still a covered Shabbos.
Right. So we're going to see. Right, I want to talk about that. It's very possible if you're in a let's say for example, you know, we're talking about hospitals because we're trying to keep the series about hospitals, but you know, more upbeat, you're in a hotel, let's say for example, and your kids are back home in your house. So me'ikar adin, if your kids are home in your house and they're single and they light candles in your house, you don't have to light in the hotel room. You just have to have light in the hotel. Meaning you have to leave a bathroom light on, a lamp light on. We'll get to that hopefully at some point. That's a big chiddush. Now again, but to tell your wife would not be happy if she hears she went away for Shabbos and didn't light candles. She'd be ois, I'd say ois mensch, but it's not proper grammar. But she'd be very disappointed the whole Shabbos knowing she didn't light candles. Even though you tell her she's not, you could tell her she's not chayv. It doesn't matter. She's still going to be like, I can't believe I didn't light candles. So that's why sometimes you have to just work with the situation, even though the halacha might not necessarily go that way. If you look over number four very quickly, in Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva and heart tzvi about this shaila. And he quotes like this. He says, "Varava going to Avram Yisrael Moshe Solomon, Micharkov Higgedly Shashama Miish Shah going to Yosef Rosen, who is the Yosef Rosen, also known as the Rogachava, right? The Rogachava Nishal Amor Hachashmal. They asked the Rogachava what's his opinion about lighting electric lights. Mivorchan Olav Ala Lukas Ner Shabbos. If he Mivorchan Labayim Mireish Matzah Shabbos Kodesh. Again, there's two elements to the shaila. A, do you make a bayir mireish matzah shabbos, which we're not going to get to tonight, but Lined, we'll get to it next week. And secondly, can you make the bracha la'adigner shal shabbos on Friday night, Friday afternoon? So the Rogat Shabbos said like this, v'hoi v'dishari l'varach alav matzah shabbos kodesh. The Rogat Shabbos said only on Havdalah. Why? You can only make bayir mireish on electric. Why, said the Rogat Shabbos? The ha'eshu, it's esh. Why is it esh? Because it's a hot piece of metal, that's a fire. A glowing piece of metal is the same thing as a fire. So therefore, Zokter Rogachava, what's the bracha that we make on Matzah Shabbos? Boire Mere O Esh. So this is Esh. When I turn on the light switch, I just made Esh. What's the difference between I made Esh or I struck a match? Same thing. However, says the Rogachava, Avaloi Be'er Shabbos Kodesh. Ta brachi l'hadlik ner v'zele choshev madlik. You're not considered the madlik. So this is obviously a very lomdish shaila. Grama, what do you mean? I caused the switch and the circuits and everything connected because of me. Says the Rogachava, that's not good enough. That's not considered the madlik. Right, maybe a grumma. So the Rogachava held that you're not allowed to make the bracha. So we have so far one person against making a bracha was the Rogachava. The Debrezina Rav writes in number 5. Nishalti, I was asked, "Im yoytzin de chayves ner Shabbos yomtiv adlokas ner electricity sheni korim hatev shenidku ach v'rak mishol ner Shabbos yomtiv." Again, they were clearly done for Shabbos. It wasn't like you left the. This is the whole shayla. You leave the bathroom light on. That's not recognized that you did it for Shabbos. I guess you could argue, Kohen don't leave bathroom lights on when they go to sleep. They turn it off and on. We left it on because we need light for Shabbos. Okay. Leave a lamp on. That's probably the best thing. V'chein in yoner Chanukah. V'gamah levarach on electric even much Shabbos kodesh brachim mereish. Hashavti eneni oyser. I don't prohibit it. Avol b'shem oif eneni yochel haskim levarach lechatchila al or electricy. I cannot consciously allow someone to make a bracha on electric light. The karva dov rafil osan. I think it might even be us to make a bracha. If you can't, like a hospital, they don't let you light candles, then do it, no bracha. So far we have the Rogat Shava and the Debrezina Rav that say no bracha. Okay, so if you look over in number 6 in Sefer Shvas Yitzchak, he quotes other Achrayinim, earlier Achrayinim, that also held you cannot make a bracha. Now, it's just so funny to me, because I was assuming we're all samech on the base Yitzchak. Maybe it's like Shmelech, because he was the first one to talk about it. He was the first one who said it's okay to light Neri Shabbos, and he also said clearly that you can make the bracha. And that was what Reb Chaim Moshe said. That's what Reb Henkin said. But there are man de polgim b'zeh. So, for example, if you look over here, he calls him the Marshag. Marshag was a Hungarian gadol. The Marshag writes, no. He says, "V'yesh achrayim the pligi b'zeh b'shal shuvas Marshag kosev demoyim v'vorchem lahadlik eish." He says, depends. If the bracha on a Friday would be lahadlik eish, I can understand that this is called Esh. How do you call this a ner? How do you translate that bracha? To light the candle? What's a candle? The fire? What? You know, it's hard to imagine it. So the Rogachev had a different problem. He held it's felt in the Maisa Hadlaka. So according to the Marshag, the problem is it's not called a ner. According to the Ragachov, it's not called a Maisa Hadlaka. And what about all those places that permit the bracha? What's their lomdus? So he says, Svirule, the Dai Bekach, it's good enough. Shalosh bnei adam gamze mikri hadlaka. Hadlaka doesn't mean halachically lomdus hadlaka. Hadlaka means perception. People perceive this as a lighting. Vigam mikri hadlaka. Vigam mikri ner. People call this light or candle. Shahrei b'loshen ha-toyer b'loshen chazal ha-beis kibul shal Hashem v'apsila nikru ner. Where the menorah is a chashmal she klilim or nikru or. A ner is something that produces light. Finished. Hamadli, what?
Especially nowadays, they look like
candles. That's right, right. A madlik is someone who causes it to be light. So you flip the switch. That's considered good enough. So that's how they counteract the argument of the Marshag and the Rogachov. Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav that Rabbi Salavitchik said over that Rabbeinu Sipra Lonu, Rabbi Salavitchik told us, Shepamachas kishoisi ima bebeis ha-choylem. His mother had to have been in the, his mother was in the hospital over Shabbos. So his father, Moshe Salavitchik paskin, she-choylem levorek adadlokas ne'er-chashmali. Okay, so Rabbi Salavitchik paskin, like the Beis Yitzchak, like Reb Chaim Moizer, that you're allowed to make a bracha. So that's a Meiser Rav. You could take that to the bank that he actually followed, like the Reb Chaim Moizer and the Beis Yitzchak Shmalkas.
Who's the one you said earlier that Dafka did it on an electric?
That was Havdalah, Reb Chaim Moizer. We'll get to that also at some point. Now, Reb Shlomo Zalman had a totally different outlook on electricity. Reb Shlomo Zalman was well known for his study. He studied electricity very thoroughly, and he was willing to argue on Achrayim a lot older than him, like the Chazon Ish, because he held he mamash studied the Metzias better than anyone else. So he had his own look on electricity. So Reb Shlomo
Zalman.
Right. He really researched it, old school research, right. Not like today, we can just watch a YouTube video, right? He went down and he studied. He did it when he was very young. He was the early years of his life. He really researched it very thoroughly. And he even thinks that I think he writes in one of the places that he knew the Shtickle better than the Chazon Ish because he knew the Metzias better. Hitaka studied it much, much better. So he writes like this. Reb Shlomo Zalman wasn't a big fan of using electric lights. Reb Shlomo Zalman actually felt the best thing to use is battery powered lights. According to Shlomo Zalman, if you're stuck, you should use flashlights. Or maybe a cell phone, which is charged. Why? What's Shlomo Zalman's cheshbon? So Shlomo Zalman held that the maila of ner v'shemen is that when you leave, when you put into it, it has the achilas to go. If you put in shemen, it can go. Again, obviously a guy can come and blow it out, but bishala atzma, it has the kayach to go. He said electricity is subjected to the electric company. They could just pull the power, and then you have nothing left. So even though right now it looks like I have this big knocking light, but if the electricity goes, I got nothing. Therefore, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, if you use a battery and you have a full,
different than if the wind comes by and knocks out the nearest.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't put your nearest in a mokum that's shchichi. You can blow it out.
Right?
Right. And again, if you, that's what we're saying by Hanukkah. If you put it in a place where it can't, so that's a problem. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Right off the Hanukkah already. Okay. Getting cold outside, we think about Hanukkah. But so says Reb Shlomo Zalman, the best thing would be is to use battery packed. What?
Batteries could run out.
Right, but I guess it gets you through at least Friday night. Right, again, Alpi Derech HaTeva, what's the likelihood of the electric company turning off electricity or having a blackout? Very, very not likely. But that was Reb Shlomo Zalman. So he writes over number 8. Again, I don't think this is widely practiced. I think everyone goes like the other Achrayim. Like everyone else we saw, that you could just use regular electric. But if you're a Talmud Reb Shlomo Zalman, so you have to know his Chumrah. So he writes in number 8 from Shemir Shabbos Gachos, he says, V'shamati me'agrin Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. The Yesh L'chag bin Orcha Shemal Sheba mitachanat ha-koach, da'izeh choshev b'shas ad-loka, kemadik b'loi shemen. He said that when you light, it's keili you're lighting without oil. No pun intended, a shot in the dark. You have no idea whether or not it's going to last. You're hoping that they're going to keep the electricity running, which is what's going to cause this thing to keep on going. Says Rishon Zalman, that I'll let you make a bracha on. So according to Rishon Zalman, again, Rishon Zalman was against electric lights for bracha. He was even more against it for Matzei Shabbos, which we'll get to, Bli Neder. But Reb Shlomo Zalman was not a fan of using electric lights with a bracha. He said, better to use battery.
With a bracha.
He said, then he writes, Efsher, then he says, then Mistavra that you can make a bracha. Then Reb Shlomo Zalman says, he thinks it's logical you can make a bracha on a battery, but not on regular electric lights. Yeah, that's what I would have thought, right? Yeah, it's very interesting. Now, one of the major poskim that we deal with, man, if you were to stop right here and you had the shayla this Friday, someone calls up and says, I'm stuck in the hospital, should I light my incandescent light bulbs with a bracha, what would you answer? Yeah, probably. The problem is Reb Moshe Feinstein said no. That's why we're a little bit on the fence here. We're all American here, and we know Reb Moshe was the Pesach for America, so now we're stopped. Now, where did Reb Moshe say they don't make a bracha on electric lights? So he does not write it in a tshuva. The first place I saw it quoted was in the back of Rabbi Ribiat. Rabbi Ribiat has a great sefer, so on the back of his sefer, he quotes this Reb Moshe. He doesn't say it's in a tshuva, as far as I know. Then Reb Simcha Bonim Kohn wrote another beautiful sefer on Shabbos, The Radiance of Shabbos. He quotes it also. But I was fondly zeicher to find it written in Mesiris Moshe. What's Mesiris Moshe? Mesiris Moshe were notebooks by the Tendler family where they just heard conversations. Reb Moshe used to hang out by them, and they would just write over what they heard from Reb Moshe. So they tell over a story. Number 9. To me, this is the first place I've seen it brought down where Reb Moshe ruled on the matter of electric lights. He writes a story with Reb Moshe. Be'inyan ner Shabbos. Kishahayu Rabbeinu Beis HaChayim. Reb Moshe was in the hospital. Shoyel doidi hagoyin Reb Ruvain. So my uncle Reb Ruvain asked Rabbeinu imratza lahadlik if he wants to light candles. V'heishiv sheyesh lahadlik b'nei chashmali b'lei bracha. And his response was, let's light the electric candles without a bracha. V'amarti halo heveisi ner Shabbos. So he said to him, but I brought you real candles. V'am Rabbeinu nu, rakavanasi she'en kedai lasis esik hazeh. Reb Moshe said, I just meant you don't have to go through this whole esik of getting me candles, I'll just do electric. V'yishavti she'vakesh v'shos man halos besa cholim. So Reb Reuven told Reb Moshe, but I got permission from the hospital, I don't know how he pulled that off, I got permission from the hospital to let you use real candles. V'shaloi l'shitas Rabbeinu yev shalavarach al-chashmal mitzashe in l'gambi b'shos ha-madlik. And he said, because I know you know, he probably didn't call him dad, but I know you hold that you can't make a bracha on electric lights. So I didn't want you to put you in that position, so I asked the hospital if I can give you real lights. So here you see that Reb Moshe held, he just says a lumdus over here, which I don't know what that means, because it's not completely in your rishus. The chaver sechashmal gam ki mechoyim lekvoy. So who does that sound like? Sounds like Yerushalayim Zalman. Sounds like he was mechavet to Yerushalayim Zalman's problem, that you're not in control of your fire. It could always be turned up by the electric company.
This scenario assumes that his wife was...
Yeah, okay. Well, that's the end of it. I didn't put it down here, but yeah. They talk about that, Shiloh, did he even have to... So Reb Moshe writes, Reb Heshev Rabbeinu Zenochon, you're right. She'eish sofik im yochel v'arach al chashmal. She'im keinu im yochel v'akish v'shos t'vakish. So Reb Moshe said, good. So if we can get permission to use real, that's better. So this is where we have Reb Moshe recorded. That Reb Moshe, so now we have a problem on our hands. We can't just Reb Moshe. So I don't know. Now we'll get to Blina the next week. More people who say you can make a bracha, just to complicate it even more. And then we'll try to figure out what we should do halacha l'maisa. And then we'll switch over to then talk about, we're going to go in order of the day. We're going to come back to Havdalah at the end, because Havdalah happens after Shabbos. But a lot of what we talked about is going to be very relevant for Havdalah. Is it so posh that if you can use it for a Shabbos, can you use it for Havdalah? And then we'll talk about Kiddush, and we'll talk about some other things, and then hopefully we'll start to talk about the electricity.
Tomorrow night is
partial. Tomorrow night, Mitzvah.